Good evening. Hope you have your Bible with you. If you do, go ahead and open it to Romans chapter 1 to begin with this evening. And I want to talk about the bookends of the book of Romans. You may not know what that has reference to right offhand, but you will in just a little bit. I'm convinced that one of the challenges that we have as Christians is that there's a disconnect between our faith and our obedience. We sometimes hang our hat on faith, and then we see some of the most outlandish and outrageous things done by people of faith. I look at the programming on television or what is shown in the movie theaters and so forth, and I think, how in the world does this get by in a nation that for the vast majority of people would say, we're Christians? If they would say, we're not going to go, they wouldn't show those kind of movies. But all these people who profess faith end up doing things that go against their faith. And that's how they can make money on these movies, because people who profess faith in Christ go and pay the money for those kind of movies. They have the right beliefs. They believe in Jesus, but they don't live lives of obedience to Jesus. And that's a danger. It's a frequent disconnect that you see in people. It happens on, we've talked about social media the last couple of weeks with the students and so forth. Be careful and watchful. But sometimes you can get on social media and you see people, my favorite book's the Bible, I love the church, I love this kind of thing, and I'm all for Jesus, pass this on if you love Jesus. And then, like, you'll see outrageous things below that they also like, and that are just completely out of harmony with the character and purpose of Christ. And so I want us to talk about that disconnect, and I want you to see the connection that the Lord intends for there to be between faith and obedience. We've probably all written letters. Maybe less so nowadays than we have in days past, but we still write emails and so forth, and it may take a little more informal nature, but usually my letters go like that. My letters are usually apology letters, because I stick my foot in my mouth a lot, and so I'm writing to people saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that, or that came out wrong or something. But here's how my letters kind of go. They'll begin with what the letter is about. You know, hey, the other day when I said such and such, I didn't mean it for it to come out that way. I apologize for X, Y, Z, and so forth. And I go through and I explain some things and try to apologize through the letter. And then when I get down to the end, I might say, you know, again, I really am sorry about that. I hope you have a great day. And we move on. But I began the letter and I ended the letter with basically the same thought. And the stuff in the middle is about that same thing. Guys, go home and write your wives a letter. Tell them how much they mean to you. And how do you do that? Well, you probably start out, or if you can remember back the last time that you wrote one of those kind of letters, and if you can't, that's why you need to go home and write one of those letters. But go home and you start off by, you know, I just want you to know how much I love you. And then you spin the letter and you talk about how many ways that you love them. And then probably before you end, you'll just say again something like, you know I don't tell you enough, but I just want you to know how much I love you. And then we finish our letter. And again, beginning and end has, you know, bookends to the purpose and theme of that letter. That's exactly what we have in the book of Romans. And what I find interesting about that is that the book of Romans is often a book, well, if you were to ask, what's the theme of the book of Romans, you'd probably get an answer something like, well, justification by faith. And that's a good answer, but it's more than that. The book of Romans has, by many people, been used as a book to defend, you know, we're saved by faith alone. That's all you got to do. You got to just trust in Jesus, believe in Him, and salvation. And obedience doesn't have anything to do with it. Don't get works involved. Don't get human activity involved. It's just this faith in Jesus, and that's what justifies you, and that's counted for righteousness. And and they leave it as though there's a disconnect between faith that saves you and obedience that you perform. But I want us to look at what Paul said in Romans, and I want us to take it this way. Let's look at what he said in the beginning, and let's look at how he closed it. And don't be surprised that in the middle, we find that same theme carried out. And that's exactly what we'll find. Look with me. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Passage says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom, listen, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. Here's what Paul said. God spoke through the prophets, and he has spoken through us and gave us this work of and privilege of being his apostles. And we're out spreading this message of Jesus to bring about the obedience of faith. Now, that's underline worthy, if you underline in your Bible, because I want you to notice how the book ends. But I want you to notice first, how does it begin? Paul said, what we're doing, the preaching that we do, is intended to bring about not just faith, but the obedience of faith. There's something more that is required to faith than just saying, I believe in Jesus. Paul didn't say, my preaching is intended to cause people to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Well, that's part of it, but it's not all of it. He said, I want you to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but I also want you to obey what it tells you to do, the obedience of faith. Let's go to Romans chapter 16, and let's look at the tail end of this, the back side of this bookend. And in the very last section, the doxology, beginning in verse 25, we have, now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Christ Jesus, according to the revelation of the mystery that has been kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to do what? To bring about the obedience of faith. Isn't it interesting? The book begins by saying, you know why I'm writing this? You know why I'm out preaching? So that I can bring about obedience to the faith. And he ends the book by saying the same thing. Those prophetic writings and this preaching that I've been doing is intended to bring about obedience of faith. Don't let someone tell you that the book of Romans is just about faith. He tells us in the beginning and in the end, as he restates the reason for writing, that it's about my effort to get people to obey the faith. And that's what we need to focus on. So if that's how he begins, and if that's how he ends, then maybe we should see that somehow carried out in the middle. Let's look at a few of those in-between verses. Turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 2. And look at what he says in verse 8. He says, he was saying, but for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. You see, he was saying that we're all going to be judged. If you go back up to verse 6, he's going to render to each one according to his works. And those who obey the truth will be justified. And those who, and note this phrase, obey unrighteousness. You see, when you do the wrong thing, you're not just disobeying, you're obeying. But you're obeying the wrong person. You're obeying Satan. You're obeying unrighteousness. When you live for yourself, you may think you're living in rebellion, but really you're living in obedience. Just to the wrong person. But I want you to know what brings about that justification. It's those who obey the truth. And if you don't obey the truth, you end up obeying unrighteousness, and thus you'll be judged and condemned. But again, there's that idea of obedience and the truth, and they have to go hand in hand. It's not just, you know, I believe that Bible. I believe every word of it. I think it came from God. That's all good. But are you going to obey it? Or are you just going to say you believe it? It's obedience to the truth, the obedience of faith that brings about justification. Let's turn in our Bibles to another passage in Romans. Let's turn over to chapter 6. And again, we see the same theme carried out, which shouldn't surprise us again. This is a letter that was written, and he started out telling us his purpose. I want to bring people to obedience of faith. And he closes by saying, yep, that's right. I want to bring you to obedience to faith. And you would think that in the middle that he would talk about that very thing. And we see it in chapter 2, verse 8. And we see it again in chapter 6. Look at beginning in verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we're not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin, but have become obedient from the heart to that standard of teaching or that form of doctrine to which you were committed. And then having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. So, again, he introduces the same concept. When we submit ourselves, when we obey or disobey, we've chosen a master. And he says there are those who have obeyed the gospel, and their obedience, not their faith, but their obedience leads to righteousness. You see, it's more, does faith lead to righteousness? Well, sure it does. But it's not faith alone. Because in this passage, Paul said, it's your obedience that leads to righteousness. The obedience of faith. We believe the right thing, and then we act in harmony with it. But to divorce that action from our profession, it doesn't do us any good. In fact, he goes on to say, you know, if we don't obey and do righteousness, well, then really we become a slave to unrighteousness. And that leads to sin, and we become slaves of Satan. But it's who we obey, not just who we believe, that results in our righteousness. Turn to one more passage, Romans chapter 10. And once again, we see this theme of obedience and faith. In verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him and whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without somebody preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed us, who has heard from us? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But here's what Paul said. If somebody's going to come to faith in Jesus, they've got to hear it. And if they're going to hear it, that means somebody has to be sent. Well, who's going to send them? Okay, well, we're going to send, you know, preachers. So that they can do what? Obey the gospel. Not believe the gospel. See, that's a part of it. And we're not dismissing the belief. But so many people, again, go to the book of Romans and they say, it's all about faith. It's all about believing. And get works and obedience out of it. But when we do that, we miss the very purpose of the book. It begins and it ends with obedience of faith. And there's spread out and scattered throughout the middle sections of this book, we have that same theme, the obedience of the faith, the obedience to the gospel. Not everyone is going to obey the gospel, and they'll be lost because of it. He didn't say not everybody's going to come to faith, but he said obey. So here's the final and the bottom line that I would just want to get across to you. The book of Romans is a great book about faith, but that's only half true. It's a book about obedience to the faith. It's about men and women who have come to call upon the name of the Lord, who have believed the report of Jesus coming to take away sins. And we accept him as the Son of God, and we've come to know him to be that Messiah that was long ago promised, even in the garden, Genesis 3, verse 15. And he's now come and revealed himself, and he's died, and he's been put to death, buried, and he rose again. And we believe that. But it takes more. I have to have a connection between my belief and my actions. I can't say, oh, I believe in Jesus, but I want to live like the devil. I believe in Jesus, but I'm not going to try to live holy like him. Do you remember what we talked about just a couple of weeks ago? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Pursue peace and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. We're not going to go to heaven if we don't pursue both our faith in Jesus and our obedience to that faith. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says it about as plainly as I know how to say it. When Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There are going to be people that when they stand at the judgment day and when they leave this world, they leave it thinking, Jesus is my Lord. And they're going to cry out, Lord, Lord. And he said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he who, listen, doeth the will of my Father, who's in heaven. He goes on to say, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done many mighty works in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And he said, I'll say, depart from me, I never knew you, because you were workers of iniquity. You see, here are people who had faith in Jesus, but they weren't living it. It wasn't a part of their everyday existence. They weren't doing what he called them to do. They hadn't obeyed the faith that they profess. And I don't want us to fool ourselves into thinking that if I believe the right things, I've got a ticket to heaven. Because it takes more than that. It takes a genuine lifestyle, a life of faith and obedience coupled together that will eventually get us justified in the eyes of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So that's all I had on tap. As you can tell, I've got throat problems today, and I'm not going to go quite as long as I usually do. I'll make it up Sunday. So I'm not just giving away time. Come on. I appreciate your attention, and I hope that you'll give thought to these things. I really think it's one of the things that we struggle with as children of God. Don't hang your hat on faith and think you can live like the devil. You can't. Paul urges us and calls us to obedience of the faith, and that's the way we need to live. If you're here tonight and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's great. But what are you doing about it? You need to obey him. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you haven't done that, why don't you do that tonight? We'll assist you in your obedience of faith. If you're a child of God already but unfaithful and it's time to come back home, you know that Jesus is Lord, but you haven't been living like it. And after we look at these passages tonight, you see it's not just my faith that's going to get me into heaven. It's my faith that leads to my obedient lifestyle. And I haven't been very obedient. In fact, I've been downright disobedient. If you need to repent, we'll pray for you if you'll come as we stand together and sing.